Betty Mayfield from Vulcan.
Right.
And we're going to start by asking Betty her background and what she does presently.
Okay, well, I've been in libraries for about 30 years, I think. Graduated in 79, so that is 30 years. And I started in special libraries. I was, for at least half of my career, I was a sole librarian. So I, for a long, long time, actually never worked with librarians. I worked with professionals. I worked with engineers and lawyers and geologists and accountants, but I actually never had that, you know, colleague that I could cry or or rejoice over work. So the first probably 10 years of my career, for personal reasons, I was moving all over the world. I went to library school in Vancouver at UBC. I worked for probably about 5 years off and on as a consultant and as a sole librarian in Canada. And then we moved to Australia because the job market was bad for both libraries, and my husband's an engineer, it was tough for him to get a job. So we thought we would travel. And we thought when we finished traveling, the recession would be over and we would get these great jobs. And of course, that didn't really happen. But what it did do is it gave me great experience. I was able to get a job as librarian in Australia, came back. Worked in Northern BC, was able to get a job as a librarian there, came down to the United States, was able to get a job as a librarian here, and it taught me that this degree opens doors. It you know, gives you opportunities all over the world. So that's how I got to Seattle. And then in Seattle, I knew no one. I didn't know anybody in our profession. I didn't know, you know, I didn't have any contacts in the fields that I'd worked in Canada. So I started to volunteer. I did some work for literacy councils, and then I got some jobs, some contract jobs. So I sort of continued this sort of consulting idea. And I eventually, through the Special Library Association, I was on their consultation bureau, which was a bureau that provided sort of a free service to professions who think they need library help and don't really know how to go about it. And so as a librarian, you would go in and talk to people in, you know, usually it was corporate libraries, and talk to them about their needs and then make recommendations. And sometimes you'd get work out of that, a little bits of work, but sometimes, you know, they would go off and hire. Lots of times I would say go to the iSchool because those are great, you know, those are great opening positions, those small library jobs. And eventually I got this phone call about this job at Vulcan, and it just was a job I just could not have. So all of my marketing skills, which were terrible before that, sort of came to the fore. I just worked and worked and worked to get that job because it just sounded so wonderful. And in the end, I won the contract.
So tell us a little bit about Vulcan and what you do there.
Okay, Vulcan is it's a Paul Allen company. He was the co-founder of Microsoft. And it's a company that directs his investments, his philanthropic arm, and some of his business, only some of his businesses, not all of his businesses. But I was really hired at the beginning on a personal basis because his family had a lot of books and they were going to build a library. And they had like 380 boxes of books that they needed cataloged. They didn't really want to hire a librarian full time. They didn't really think they needed it. The heritage of that family is that they know libraries because Ken Allen, the father of Paul Allen, was the, I think, associate director of the University of Washington Library. So they grew up with they grew up around libraries, and they grew up with a passion for books, and so they collected these books all these years, over 50 years, really. And so originally the job was a contract job for 3 years to catalog some books for the family. And somewhere in that 3 years, something changed, and I actually think it was reference work. You know, working with the family, answering a few questions. Can you do this while you're cataloging these books? Can you find me these things? Can you? And all of a sudden, the job went full time. I mean, it was. I was doing other contracts at the time, and I actually couldn't keep up. And so I I finished up my other contracts, and I started working just for them. And it grew beyond the personal library for the family to include, you know, some support for some of the projects. You know, I did a little bit of almost consulting for the Experience Music Project as they were thinking about how to organize all the artifacts and what kind of people they needed. And if it was library related, they would ask me. And then when Paul got involved and learned some of the skills that I had, he just started using me so much that I couldn't do it all. And so I started there in 1991. I think about 96 or 97, I actually became an employee. And then in around 2000, I thought I needed an assistant. And I worked with the Human Resource Department. They said, you need a department. And so in 2000, we hired an assistant, and we hired 3 catalogers. And since then, we've hired 2 broadcast technologists, because we do so much with film and music. And then we hired an archivist, and we hired an image librarian, because we're developing a digital image collection. And so now we have, like, this, to me, this huge library with lots of people. This is coming from somebody who's never worked for years with anybody who knew anything about libraries, to this wonderful kind of professional staff that brings, you know, it's so nice to work with people who know what you're doing, and, you know, you can, your ideas expand, and it's a wonderful position.
So when you're hiring these people, what are some of the major qualities that you look for in them?
Well, you know, I do look a little bit at skill. I mean, this is terrible to say, but I think that anybody's got a library degree. I don't really delve into that too much. The image librarian, I really did look for somebody with an art background, and that was actually very easy to find. I found lots of librarians who had, you know, a BFA or something like that, and they were just visual people. That's what that position needed. But most of the other positions, I did look, it was cataloging, I did look for either librarians who had at least taken, you know, more than the 1 cataloging class in school, which lots actually hadn't, but more I really looked for team player, because everything we do at Vulcan is about teams, and I made 2 bad hires over the years, and both of those people eventually left simply because they weren't people, or they just didn't work out well in the team. And that really, that over the years, that's become more and more important for me. It's got to fit this.
So one of the characteristics that stands out for you is the team persona, mm-hmm. per se. What else does?
You know, I think there is a gut feeling, I think, that when you interview people. I did look a little bit in past job experience, or even if it was I actually like to hire new students, because they bring all that fresh new knowledge that I don't have anymore. And so I would look at the kind of, the jobs or the, didn't really get too much into class projects, but the kinds of experiences they had, and anybody who was like a self-starter who would say things like, oh, you know, I got this job and nobody was doing this, but I just went ahead and I set up the program, and you know, that's just the kind of thing I want to hear, because in small libraries, and, you know, with small staff, it's really hard to mentor or to be there all the time for some people. And so, because a lot of times you start working for me and I go, you know how to do cataloging? And I show them the tricks of whatever system we're using, and then tell me when you have a question. And you're gone, and those poor people are sort of sitting there trying to figure out what to do. But I know that their background, I know that their schooling is there. Mm-hmm. I know they can do it. But it's really difficult to really mentor and spend a lot of time building up those on-the-job skills. So those are the kinds of things in the job. And communication is very important, too.
So star qualities of some of your star employees would be communication skills,
yes,
self-starting your initiative,
right,
and being a team player.
Right, exactly right. Yeah.
Anything else that comes to mind?
Well, communication, we haven't talked too much about that, is key. It's absolutely key. People who are not afraid to talk to people outside their sort of inner circle. Now we have a team. People who are willing to run upstairs or downstairs to talk to a technician, get on the phone and talk to a vendor. You know, it sounds so small, and yet it just makes the difference between somebody who's very successful and somebody who's like doing, you know, an okay job, I guess.
So the basic knowledge or skills that you look for are what they've done in the past, and then you see if they've got the skill set to move themselves forward from
right.
that set of basic skills?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I almost presume they have the set skills. I mean, it's really important to have those library skills. But somebody who's coming from the University of Washington, I'm just presuming they have that. I don't spend a lot of time talking about, you know, tell me what your opinions of Dewey are, or, you know, any kind of cataloging questions like that. I sort of like the more broad approach. We talk about, you know, projects and their roles in the projects and where they were frustrated in the projects, because that sort of indicates, you know, a couple of things, who they're working for, but also, you know, the things that make them stumble or how they can approach a problem from their perspective, and those kinds of things. They kind of help tell you about teamwork as well. So
what is it that you feel your employees learn most on the job from you guys?
You know, I was thinking of that, and I think a lot of the task-related stuff. So I'm talking about, you know, in special libraries, you have all these skills that you learned in library school. You have these standards and best practices. And the first thing you know, you've got to break. You've got to break rules. So, and I had an example of a woman who came to work for us, and she was from a university environment, and she had very, very high standards about storing things and processing using the highest quality materials, and, you know, writing reports, always wanting to write reports. And I kind of wondered who she was writing reports for, because, you know, we don't do that. You know, we just get this material processed, tell the owners, you know, that it's there with their tools, and then when they need them, basically they ask us to go get them. So from her perspective, she had to break a lot of rules. And at one point she said to me, you know, I might demand that we follow these best practices. And I said, well, you might demand them, and then again, if you do that, we may just have to say no. I mean, I think our role in the situation I'm in, and in a lot of special libraries, your role is to say, this is the best standard. This is the way we should be doing these things. But if there is a reason, the goal of the company or the purpose of the company, you know, you've got to balance those. Sometimes it's just horrendously expensive, or we don't do circulation at all, you know. So those are the things that sort of are learned on the job. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, and I could get a job tomorrow and I would have to relearn a lot of that sort of specific kind of stuff. So
when you're hiring, you told me you really don't have difficulty filling your positions. What do you anticipate as being a challenge to filling positions in your future?
You know, I've had such little problem with my hires, and I don't hire a lot of people. Over the, say, last 10 years, I think I've hired maybe 8 people. So it's not a lot of people when you're talking about other systems. But the thing that I just find so wonderful is that it's never taken me longer than a month to find good people. And I think part of that is being in Seattle. You've got lots of people who are applying that, you know, they may not be fresh out of school, but they've got some fabulous experience. They've worked at Microsoft, and people who've worked in, you know, the university environment. I haven't had anybody apply for the job who was from the public library environment. But that doesn't mean I wouldn't, you know, be interested in talking to them. There's probably something about corporate work or the kind of job that we do that maybe doesn't interest that kind of person who wants to work with the public and stuff. So, but it's just nothing that, I mean, I send out, you know, we post these job descriptions, and the only thing I've waited for is for somebody to actually move here. We did hire somebody from the South, so that's the only reason we needed to wait. So it's a good environment.
So far, the skill sets that you're looking for and what the anticipated skill sets that you need are pretty well fulfilled.
Yeah. You know, we are our work is very narrow. We are basically a cataloging team. And we, you know, reference work is really important. I think reference work is important for no matter what job you have. If you're a cataloger, it makes you a better cataloger. If you're an image librarian, it just makes you a better librarian, those skills. But I've lost my lost my train of thought.
Those are skills that you still think are important regardless of the setting.
I was going to say that because we're narrow, we don't have a lot of, you know, we don't have a serials librarian, an acquisitions librarian. We don't have those positions, and that is probably one of the reasons that it's easy for us to keep this team together, because we really are very like, we do very similar kinds of work, even though it's different collections.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in the future, the big question, the big problem that I see is all about digital rights, digital playback, digital archiving. That's what is. I mean, it's hit us now. Our collection is probably 75% digital at this point. You know, we don't have digital books because we have audio books, but though the problems of the digital collection, that's where we will be. I'm sure that our next hires, whatever they are, even if we lost a cataloger, we would be looking for somebody who's got work with digital collections, mm-hmm. because it's a nightmare. and it's probably our most confusing and problematic. The problems that we have come from that, those collections.
So let's talk a little bit about when you have professional work done, what are the aspects of that professional work that seem to be the least handleable by your new hires?
Least handleable. Well, with the new hires, some of this is anecdotal because my hires are not even new anymore, but my sister's a librarian and I listen to some of the things that she's saying. The biggest thing is, I think, face-to-face communication. Mm-hmm. It's they're wonderful answering questions online. They're wonderful finding resources online, communicating online. But I have a hard time getting them to pick up the phone and talk to a vendor. I talk to vendors, and sometimes I take pages of notes because I learn so much from them. I have a hard time getting them to walk down a couple of stairs to meet somebody, you know, say a software developer that we're working with on writing some cataloging software, say. I have a hard time to get them to go and talk to them rather than just sending emails. And I mean, it's cozy sitting in your little cubicle. and that I don't know if that's a learned skill, but it certainly is something that I have to really kind of push some of our not-so-new librarians even.
I think that's a real important thing to say,
yeah.
is that communication skills include
yeah.
face-to-face.
Right, and you know, the other thing in a job like ours, particularly for the sole librarians, I mean, my first 15 years is to really listen to the professionals you're working with. You're working with, you know, if you're in an engineering company or an accounting firm or whatever, they teach you so much about what you're doing. And some of the best advice I've actually received was from the executive assistants to the partner in charge. First job I ever had, she spent some time with me, and she said to me, just remember, Betty, that everything that comes out of this library has your name on it, and you will be judged by that. And that was like, okay, that's a little scary, but it was so good because it was that, you know, that push to say, you know, to take all those professional skills that you heard about so much and talked about so much, and it made you really think about it and put it in place. So if you listen to the colleagues you have, whether they're librarians or not, you'll be more successful, I think.
Very good point. So what are the misperceptions about your profession these people have of your profession and other people have of your profession?
See, our colleagues, our non-librarian
yeah.
colleagues, well, you know, I would say that in every special library situation I've been in, there have been library people and there have been non-library people. There have been people that really know how to use a librarian, and they're wonderful to work for.
Uh-huh.
And they build you up. And then there are people who, in a firm, want to say, well, why are we spending money on this person? Usually I would say because I'm cheaper than you are, but that's not a very good answer, really. But they just don't get the services that a librarian, that added value that a librarian can bring. And a good special librarian kind of can teach those people what skills you have that can sort of bring everybody to a common goal. And the truth is, lots of them who've never worked in a company with a librarian or with a library, they do learn that for the most part. There's a few curmudgeons that never sort of get it, but but that is probably the biggest, I guess, problem from the special library side. On the negative, on the positive, they think you can do anything, and that can be as problematic as
and
not.
Take those now and think about when you first hired people, how did they respond? What kinds of things did they say, well, that's not something that I know about, or that's not something that I'm used to doing?
For the people that I've hired from the library side, I would say the biggest problem is not, it's like, I don't do that. Again, in a special library, you do, the common goal is the goal of the company, and you just do certain things. And probably one of the biggest ones is that the librarian in a special library is not there to really teach a colleague how to use a library or how to answer a question. It's just to get the question to them. And so if it means, heaven forbid, actually going through newspapers or something very, you know, touchy-feely like that, you actually do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't say, oh, well, over there is the last year's newspapers in the, you know, exchange rate. You can find it every Mondays, you know, so you just think, you know, get to do that. You do the work. And lots of librarians don't. I think that's a surprise, but in a special library, again, especially a small one, you're jack of all trades. You do it all. You do the budget, you do the cataloging, you do the gluing, if you're going to put, you know, call numbers on the books, you shelve books, you pick up books, you know, so it's a very different career, I guess, than somebody who is, say, in an academic library working in a very space, so like the music library here. We had a tour one time, and it was just such a different kind of job, although the skill sets are the same. So.
Very true. So what do you consider the most significant changes to our professional work and our institutional demands in the future?
Again, I think you go back to the changing in publishing and the changing of content from, you know, paper and even video to these digital formats. And I remember talking to Betsy Wilson at the library, the UW library, saying her next hire is going to be a lawyer, because it's so... The copyright issues, the digital management issues are so detailed that you know, you want to do the right thing, and you think you're doing the right thing, and then somebody will look over your shoulder and say, you can't do that. So those are the big issues. And then again, you know, we have huge issues in playing back or get, you know, we've got all this stuff in digital form, how do you use it? It's going to be a nightmare.
You and the Smithsonian.
Exactly.
So what are the significant shifts that are occurring in the knowledge, skills, and practices of effective professionals in our world?
Changes. You know, I'm a perfect example. I come to the iSchool and I don't even get what, sometimes I don't think I get it because the jargon has changed so much. So I have these long conversations with, you know, these instructors, and then it always seems to go back to, well, that's cataloging, or that's, you know, reference, or that's organizing, you know, content. So I suppose that, you know, the bottom line, we still are organizers and information providers, navigators is a word I've heard, gateway keepers, that sort of thing. But it all comes down to supporting professors or, you know, colleagues, to provide them with the information they need to help them do their jobs. And so it's sort of, you know, the challenges are different, but the bottom line seems to me to be the same thing. And sometimes I think you need that leap to actually get that. You know, yeah. It really is.
So what are the qualities that best enable professionals to make these shifts?
Creativity, I suppose. You know, I think one of the best qualities of a librarian is curiosity. I think really good librarians get curious. I mean, I've been curious about the most amazing things that never would have thought, you know, counting for all things, that sort of thing, just things that I knew nothing about. And you get into a question, or you get working on a team, and you just get curious, and you go, well, gee, have you thought of doing this? Have you looked at this? Have you, you know, that I think that's the I suppose the value that we bring. And I think it's curiosity that makes you, it just pushes you. Because, you know, you don't want to let a good question die.
A word that keeps coming to mind with what you're talking about is flexibility.
Ah, yes.
You seem to be talking about the professional being somewhat flexible, mm-hmm. to be even more helpful to whomever they're working with.
It's absolutely key. And, you know, change. You have to, even in the I guess 9 or 10 years that I've actually had a team, I think we've changed structurally in the company, I think 3 times. We've had, I don't know how many different kinds of bosses and different mandates, and, you know, to be able to just jump. It's not so easy. For some people it's easier, but, you know, I always tell my staff to take a deep breath and go home and think about it. And bottom line is they're probably going to be doing the same thing, but it may not, on the surface, look like it.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. And yeah, so change seems to happen faster and faster and faster.
So you've talked a little bit about how there seems to be a pathway of need of continuous professional education. How do you see that happening with people in the field?
It's probably less easy in the corporate world, because there's not a lot of dollars for that kind of thing. I work for a wonderful company that does allow for a certain amount of professional development. But you also are confined by the fact that you can't really talk about what you're doing. And so as much as I would absolutely love to give a seminar and show off some of the projects we've worked on, and I can't really do that, and my team can't really do that. So, and then there's another thing, and that is that a lot of the big conferences are very tailored to, you know, public libraries. Special libraries I find pretty good, although a lot of the technical sessions or the sessions that I feel like I need to learn from don't. You really have to take a leap to take what you learned at that, say, workshop or something, and then be able to apply it where we are, because it's never the same. So, so I actually really like to go to small, usually local workshops, because they seem to be very, you know, they're very specific, and you can pick and choose. And I think our teams have the best success by going. We just sent some people to digital image workshop in Toronto. Actually, not so local, but. But it goes very specific to what they were doing. I think they get a lot more out of that. So that's what we try to do. And, you know, we try to get, you know, we buy resources, either to read and things like that. So
what are your expectations of your employees in terms of their participation in professional growth activities?
Well, I don't expect them necessarily to go to an annual conference every year, but I do expect them, and they're aware of this, to develop the skill sets that they're working on, and it's really up to them. I like to give them the freedom, because it's their career. You know, if they have a curiosity or an interest that goes down this line, and you know, it usually does relate to what they're doing every day. I think that's how those ideas grow. And then however they see fit, some people have actually taken those short week courses that are offered here. Mm-hmm. On specific things. Some just love going to conferences. And so, but depending on the person, they, you know, we expect them to go to those. The interesting thing, which is probably a little different, is when they come back, we actually don't spend a lot of time learning from them, because nobody else does what they do. Our team is very specialized, and so, you know, we get a little talk about what they went to, and what it sort of the general overall comments about the sessions, but we actually don't do much more than that, because it really becomes a very personal and focal thing for their jobs.
So talk to me a little bit about these talks. When do you have these talks? How do they happen?
Well, we have a bi-weekly library meeting, and because a week is too much, and if you meet only once a month, you miss too much. So we've sort of settled on that, and really, so for the team, really this is the get-together. This isn't anything really about, you know, requests coming down from the executive staff or anything. This is what I'm, you know, we sort of go around the room, and everybody gets a chance to say what they're doing, and often it leads to, this is the problem I'm having. It's good for two reasons. You know, you get that sort of brainstorming, and you also learn what your colleagues are doing, and sometimes, you know, there's some cross training there. It's like, oh, I've been doing that on this side, and, you know, I've been doing that on this side, and so we do that every 2 weeks. And then we do have, we meet with other colleagues on a more monthly and sometimes quarterly basis, and we always meet with software developers. We did that for a long time on a monthly basis, and we had a change in staff. We had some layoffs, and that dropped, and we realized how important that was to pick up again. So we meet with those people. We actually have interior designers we meet with, because we're always building bookshelves, and they help. They absolutely help. You know, they always get more linear feet than I can. So we do things like that. But we meet with some of the managers and so on that we're working with on a fairly continual basis in the company.
That's great. So what advice do you give to a young professional coming into this field?
I think it is a wonderful profession. I pat them on the back, for one thing, for joining it, because I think it opens a lot of doors. And I think it's going to open doors that they are not aware of. I usually say, go for it, you know. Look at all kinds of jobs. I think your career is more dependent on those stepping stones. You get this little contract and you get that, at least mine was. You know, I worked here and I moved and I worked there, and I finally was able to take all those little blocks and build something out of it. But for the most part, I never wanted to say I didn't go for an opportunity that came my way. And I just think that's, you know, that's the way it is. It's a big world, and there's lots of the skills that new librarians have. Mm-hmm. Will take them lots of places.
So is that the kind of advice you would give to a student, just go for it, or are there other pieces too that you would want them to have?
You know, I think some people really went to library school for a passion, and I mean go for it as much as that. If you have a passion to work with kids, I mean go for it in that situation as well, even though it's really hard to get. I'm sure it's probably really hard to get a job at a public library in the city that you're living in, you know. So that go for it could mean, if you really want to work with kids, you know, I bet you could get a job in the Midwest, or I don't know. But it's just follow that passion, because, you know, I was told I probably would never get into library school. And then it would be really hard to get a job in the field that I wanted. I didn't even know if I wanted a field. But I kept kind of coming up against these barriers. You probably can't do that. You should probably do this. And in the end, I kind of followed the path of my life as much as anything. Moving and getting married and, you know, searching beyond the country, beyond the city, and even in my instance was beyond what I thought I wanted to do. I ended up a cataloger. I never thought that I was going to be a cataloger, and most people don't, but it's not bad. It's not bad. It opens doors.
Betty, what else would you want to say that we haven't covered in this interview that you would like for the students to be sure to know about?
You know, I can't think at the moment. I think I go back to confidence, meeting up, talking, meeting with, sharing your experiences with your colleagues. In a situation, particularly again, if you're in special libraries and you don't have a librarian colleague, I learned so much by going for lunch with geologists and engineers, and always taking the opportunity, if they invited you to speak at their little meetings, always do that. That sort of push outside the library, really, it's the best you can do for your job, because then those people that need your services know you, and it's a face, and all of those things are really important, and they don't seem to be crucial. You know, you get this job because you've been asked to catalog something, or you've been asked to do research for someone, and those skills are there. It's kind of a given, yeah, you're going to do that, but how do you do the best job is by sort of that outreach and getting to know the people you're working with, and continuing your networking with your students, the students you went to school with. You'll learn a lot. I feel like the conferences and the workshops you go to after your first five years of school, it's like, when I went, I was like, oh, I learned that in school. But the best is that networking, so don't let those colleagues go.
I want to thank you for your time very much, for sharing your thoughts and perspectives with us here at the Information School.
Thank you.
Thanks again.